Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Lifebeat Podcast. I am your host, Danny Earl. It is the last week of February, last day of February. We are almost into March. The weather's getting warmer. Spring is right around the corner. I am very excited to introduce our guest today. She is the director of the ICU Birth Choice Mobile Pregnancy Resource Center, Kisha Martin. Kisha, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me, Danny. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. We have worked with Kisha in the past. We have seen great work coming from this ICU Mobile PRC, so super excited to learn more about that today. Could you just go ahead and tell me a little bit about yourself and your work as the director of this ICU Birth Choice Mobile PRC?
Okay, so like you say, I am the director of a mobile unit. We go out into the community and we do pregnancy tests and ultrasounds. We do have baby items, you know, materials for families, but mostly what we do is refer to other organizations that are able to help the women out because, again, we're trying to confirm that pregnancy to get them the help that they need, you know, just lead them in the right direction. That's what I do as a director. We also do tours for organizations that, you know, want to know more about the mobile unit, because it's relatively, well, we've been operating for 10 years. This is actually the 10th year.
Wow.
And so they've been in the community for 10 years, and a lot of places have brick and mortars. They don't just have mobile only. So we're mobile only, which is why we refer out to other organizations that may have parenting programs or more baby items for that mom. A lot of different programs are geared towards fatherhood, so we refer to that. That's the work part. For me, I'm a mom. My daughter will be 30 years old this year, and so I recently became a doula back in 2023, so I really enjoyed that. I graduated from Wayne State University with my MBA, and recently I got another master's in supply chain management.
Oh, great.
And even though I have those degrees, nothing compares to the work that I'm doing with the mobile, because I'm able to interact more with people. So I really enjoy that, you know, just helping families. And that's pretty much it about me.
That's great. Thank you so much. For our listeners who may not know, could you just explain what a doula is? You said that you recently became one in 2023.
Yes. So a doula is a person that advocates for the mom in that birthing room. We do prenatal, which is, you know, prior to the baby coming. So we'll go to doctor's appointments with that mom. We will give her different resources, and we're there to advocate what she wants to do, because we have a birthing plan, which is like that blueprint, right? Because when you're in labor, you are probably on meds, you don't know what's going on. You know, sometimes the family doesn't even know what that mom's right is. And so the doula works under a midwife. So they kind of go hand in hand. So you can have a midwife and then a doula, and, you know, you have the doctor, but the doula is really there for support of that mom. So let's just say, for example, a mom says, you know, here's my birthing plan. I do not want to do an epidural. I just do not. I want to go as natural as possible, as long as I can hold out. And I'm there to say, no, you know, this is her birthing plan. This is what she wants. And we're going to go by this until that mom gets to the point where she says, I can't take it any longer. If it is, you know, still time for me to get the epidural, then I want it. And then that's when I step in again and I say, well, we want to go ahead and she wants to do this. Because when you're in that birthing room, especially dads, sometimes they're just kind of like freaking out mm-hmm. because they know that that mom is in pain
right.
and they just don't know what to do. So the doula is there for comfort and support. And after the birth, then we go to postpartum visits just to make sure that mom is okay. You know, she's not really experiencing too much postpartum mm-hmm. Depression because they're learning now that there's a lot of postpartum psychosis that is quite evident in moms that have children, and you know, you just don't know what's going to happen. So that doula is there to kind of bridge the gap between the mom and the healthcare providers.
Gotcha. That sounds like a great pro-life resource for mothers to use. So congratulations on becoming that. That sounds like a great resource, especially over in the Detroit area. The next question I have is it's relating to the large disproportion that we have in Michigan regarding mm-hmm. abortion statistics. It was indicated that 53% of all Michigan abortions were done on Black women in 2023, mm-hmm. while Black women make up only about 14% of the state's total population. Mm-hmm. A majority of these abortions were performed in Wayne County, and this is where you and your team station yourselves with the mobile PRC. We are extremely happy to hear that there is this ICU Birth Choice mobile PRC in the community that offers mm-hmm. help and hope. It provides more choices to women than just sometimes the loudest voice of abortion. So mm-hmm. we're extremely happy to hear about that. And Right to Life of Michigan has helped ICU by providing grant money. I was actually able to come and see the mobile unit last September when we went on the Detroit PRC grant tour, and it's really, really an awesome vehicle full of great mm-hmm. resources. Like you said, it has that ultrasound in the back room and materials for mothers that come to it for help. So mm-hmm. how important is a connection with Right to Life of Michigan to do what you do every day in the city of Detroit?
So that grant money is very imperative for us because we're donor-based, so we don't receive anything from the government. We don't solicit funds just, you know, doing these. We don't do that. So the monies from Right to Life of Michigan has really aided us with being able to get our vehicle repaired. One year we had a situation with our steps, and we, you know, if we don't have steps, we can't service clients. So then it's in the shop, and that money came in such a time that we needed it. The motor on the stairs went out. They've helped us with gas. We have to get oil changes. We have to keep gas in the car. It's $100 to fill up the vehicle. And by us going out, we run the generator, which runs off the gas. And so we need, you know, gas. So they've helped us with that. We're trying to do more training for me so that I'm able to reach more women. I do a lot of experimenting myself, like going to different organizations, for instance, retreats that I know that would be good for women. That is part of this 14% mm-hmm. That have had abortions. So I need travel expenses. And so the grant money comes in handy with that. Even when we need to train new volunteers to come in. So we have to pay a fee for them to go through the training. And so that money helps us to continue to help the community.
Gotcha. That's great. Yeah. Having a mobile PRC would likely come with some more difficulties than a brick and mortar one. Like you said, paying for gas and oil change, that's something that
interesting enough, Danny, you know, like I said, we've been on the road for 10 years. Mm-hmm. No one ever thought, oh yeah, we're driving, tires seem fine, but tires dry rot.
Right.
And we didn't even think about that until we went in for the steps. And they were like, oh, you know, eventually you're going to need some new tires. And so that grant money has really come in handy for different things like that.
Oh, great. Great. Yeah. Vehicle problems are my least favorite problems in the whole world. So I am glad that there are resources to help you guys take care of those, because I know when my vehicle goes down, that's when I get a little grumpy. But I'm glad that there's resources to provide for you guys. So you've been working alongside us here at Right to Life of Michigan, particularly with the multicultural outreach team that we have over in the Detroit area for about a decade now. In that time, you have been able to love and care for countless women, children, and their families. Mm-hmm. Why do you care so much about women in unplanned pregnancies and difficult situations? What draws you to the work that you do?
I was in a situation in the past, and I had no idea that there were organizations that were available to help me. I believed all of the rhetoric about, you know, it's your body, it's your choice, you do what you want to do. And that's what I did. So I had an abortion, and it was something that if I had known about the different resources, I would have reached out to someone, you know, even to adopt out having the abortion. And the dad didn't want that, and I did it, you know, it was very selfish. And I was in church, and while I was in church, I was doing everything, Danny. I was on the choir, I was doing working with the children, working in the nursery, doing working in the office, just doing everything that I can. And now I've learned that that was a way that I was trying to fix what I had done. One day I just heard a voice like, you need to get off of everything and go and sit in the service. And so I got off everything, I sat in the service, and to my surprise, CareNet was opening a new facility in Detroit, and they were talking about this service that was available for women, and how they can come and get pregnancy tests, and they have a boutique for them and all of this thing, and they needed volunteers. And I said, this has to be for me. You know, for a Sunday, the next Sunday, they're there. And so I went to their informational meeting, and they said, I said, I want to do everything. I want to answer the phone, whatever you need me for. And they said, fill this packet out. I filled the packet out. And that was the first time that I had ever been honest about the abortion, because it was such a secret for me. Never shared it. And the question was there, and I said, okay, I filled it out, answered the question, and then they call you back. Once they call back, they said, well, have you ever gone through healing for this? And absolutely not. Who knew that there was healing available for that? And so they said, well, you know, you can do everything here, but you can't counsel unless you go through the healing process of this. And I said, well, I've never heard of that. I'm interested. So they set me up with a post-abortive organization. I went through that healing, and I started to volunteer. And I volunteered there for 2 years, like it was my job. And it was so good to know that what I've done in my past can be used to help someone. And I started to become staff, so I had to come out of the counseling room, and I was working the front. they were like, oh, Right to Life of Michigan is having something. So I went to that to hear a lady that was at CareNet when I was going through my training, but she did not show up there. And that's when I met Tina. And I went up to her and I said, hey, listen, I want to help. I just want to do whatever I can. My story is this, that, and the other. And she said, well, if you're willing to volunteer and, you know, help us out, then yeah, we'll have you. And here I am, you know, right, all this time later, and to be helping women the way that I am, I know that it was definitely a reason for me to be at church that Sunday. So
right, thank you so much for sharing that. That is really an impactful story, and I know that so many people could benefit from hearing it. There's so many women that we know suffer in silence after having an abortion, and they don't know, like you said, of these healing resources. So getting that information out, I think, is it's incredibly important, especially in our state, as many women are going through this alone. So thank you so much for sharing that. That's it's really a great story.
Thank you.
And not everyone is able to openly share their own history, even to help someone avoid the pain that they've experienced themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you find your emotional strength to continuously put yourself out there and open up these old wounds to help other people?
Mm-hmm. During that healing process, you learn that no matter what has happened, you're still loved, and it was, you know, a mistake, I guess, and you can be healed, but you can also help someone else. So we learned that. But the most important part for me is knowing that my story will help others, and even men, because like I said, the dad did not want me to do that, and we still ended up having a child. And so it was really heartbreaking to see that even men experience this aftermath of an abortion because they want their children. And the women are convinced that this is my body, this is my choice. You can't tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. And I saw him experience a lot of different mental issues, emotional breakdowns, and even, you know, he even spoke of suicide before. So when I went through my healing, I learned that men also go through the same thing. So I really became an advocate for the dad, right? Because dads have a right as well. So the tragedy to my healing is that the last day he was murdered, and I never got a chance to share that I apologize or ask him for forgiveness for the actions that I took, even though we still had our daughter. And so that in itself is reason for me to fight for this and try to help women and men as well, to let them know that, you know, there is help for you. There are resources available for you. Another aspect is I pray, you know, I pray, I journal, and believing that my life has purpose and knowing that I'm being used, that helps too. Being able to give someone some diapers and wipes and a resource to further their pregnancy, that helps a lot. So continuing to share helps the wounds to heal. And I also volunteer with other organizations that helped me. I go to the retreats so that I can know where I'm sending the client. Right to Life of Michigan, I volunteer with them this year, you know. I even have been, you know, requested to speak some places because of Right to Life of Michigan. And so just giving back gives me strength because I know that I'm able to help someone else.
Wow. That's great. You know, you hear that after the storm comes the rainbow, that
yes,
really beautiful things can come out of some of the darkest times. So that's really great to hear. And as you work with our multicultural outreach team, they informed me that you wrote a really beautiful poem as you have worked through the pain of your past, and you've moved through forgiveness and into the peace that you have now. Would you be willing to share that poem with us?
Of course, I would love to. The name of it is called Over. Over. The game is over. The trickery is over. The sick, demented thoughts that haunt me are over. The fear of succeeding and being prosperous is over. The fakeness is over. The spirit has been set free. The whole sense of my being is willing and able to get over. Over the pain, over the hurt, over the ridicule and the gossip, foreign laughs and stupid conversations, bad mistakes and wrong intakes are over. The thoughts of not having a husband, a wife, and some children are over. Not being happy is over. Not living in harmony is over. The fast walk, the fast talks, the deep conversations, the reality of reality is over. The over, it's over game is over. There is a halo over my head, and it's time to show the world that it can be all over for the stupidity, the anger, the rudeness, the disregard, the disrespect, the pain, the false prophecy, and all of the overdone things, attitudes, and sufferings are now under our feet. We must keep beating the path and let go and let God lead us over and over and over and over and over and over again.
Wow. That is beautiful. Thank you very much, Kisha, for sharing that.
Thank you for allowing me.
Yeah, hearing that, it shows that there's nothing in life that prevents you from growth. Every hard step along the way is an opportunity to go over it and to keep progressing towards a brighter future, and using harsh experiences to help both yourself become a stronger person, but also, like you have done so well in the Detroit area, to help others to grow. Mm-hmm. So again, thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
If you could speak to the women of your community and give them a word of encouragement, what would your message be today?
I would say, don't worry about anything. And I know that that's easier said than done, but not to worry, because there are people in general that really want to help someone else. I know that, you know, society is showing us to be unapologetic and not to forgive and not to let anything get away. But just don't worry about what other people think about you, or worry about what you look like to someone else. Just move forward, be honest, transparent, reach out to family and friends and even organizations, because 9 times out of 10 someone has told you about an organization or someone that they know that can help you. And so we have to not be so prideful that we don't want to accept the help. And I definitely would say to, you know, learn who you are and what someone else thinks about you is not your business. You know, don't worry about what people think about you. You move forward and you go in faith, and just know that what you're going through can help someone else. And I would just encourage people to just to dig deeper, especially women. You know, you are worthy. You don't have to succumb to, you know, sex. And I have to say that because abstaining is really an empowering move. That's something that will keep them from being in a situation to have to visit our mobile. You know, sometimes when we see a negative test, we're happy about that because now I'm able to speak life into that woman and say, hey, you know, this is time to set some goals. We mm-hmm. can do that now because now we don't have the problem that you thought that was going to come. So let's get a plan together so that you can move forward with a different mindset.
Right. And I think that incredible message that you're sharing is so prevalent in your actions as well. With this ICU Birth Choice mobile unit, I think providing women across the Detroit area, not just in one location, but you guys go to several locations, reaching women where they are. I mm-hmm. remember going on the grand tour and hearing that a lot of women struggle to find transportation to come to a pregnancy yeah. resource center. So being mm-hmm. able to meet them where they are, making it more accessible for them to find life-affirming healthcare, I think is just mm-hmm. incredible. I very much respect the work that you're doing. I'm in awe that you really put yourself into this community and show so much love and support. And I respect this mission that you have very, very much. And I'm extremely grateful that you were able to come on today and share your message. I know a lot of people can learn from it and to grow from it, even heal from it. So mm-hmm. thank you so much for coming. We are excited to be working with the ICU Birth Choice Mobile PRC coming up at our Motor City Baby Shower. Would you like to just touch on that a little bit about the partnership yes. there?
Yes, I'm so excited about that because last year was the first time that they've done it. They've done small community, you know, little baby showers here and right. there, show up and give out items. But oh my gosh, last year it was awesome to see so many women receiving baby items, diapers. They were seeing people that they hadn't seen in a while. And it was just beautiful to see all the pregnant women walking around and children. And right. This year, when they do it, I'm going to be there with a table where we're going to be, you know, giving out items. But I also, I do a nonprofit, which we've kind of merged them together. So it's called Manicure for Mankind. And so what we're doing is trying to promote self-care for the women that come on. And so May 17th from 12 until 2 p.m. at the Riverside Park, which is at 3085 West Jefferson in Detroit, for the second Motor City Baby Shower. We're going to be there. And this year, I'm not going to forget my table. And so I'll be doing mini hand massages just for the women that's walking around. And we'll be giving out some baby items.
Wow. That's great. It sounds like I unfortunately wasn't able to attend last year's, but it sounds like mm-hmm. that this year's is going to be even bigger and better.
Yeah.
So many resources for women and for families as well. Children yes. and fathers are welcome to all come as a family, and
mm-hmm.
great opportunity for the community to come together on May 17th in Detroit just to mm-hmm. to grow in community and celebrate life. So
yes.
Kisha, I want to thank you again for coming on today. Really a special conversation that I'm extremely grateful for you having with me. I know that it's going to be an impactful listen for our listeners. And for those in the Detroit area, if you are looking for a resource, I would recommend looking up the ICU Birth Choice Mobile Pregnancy Resource Center, seeing if this is a spot that you can go to and receive the help that you're looking for. Because like Kisha said, there's so many great resources both at the mobile unit, but then they also direct to the brick and mortar places in the area. So just a great resource to have. And we appreciate you sharing both your personal message and then your message of pro-life goals with this mobile unit as a whole. So again, Kisha, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you have a great weekend and a great start to March. And we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.